This is Fresh Air. I'm Chris Spurgeon. The Pugilist at Rest by Tom Jones has just been nominated for the National Book Award for Fiction. Terry Gross spoke with him this summer. Here's that interview.
Boxing and war are the main subjects of Tom Jones' first book of short stories. It's been getting rave reviews. Tom McGuain in the New York Times wrote, "Writers as good as Tom Jones appear but rarely." In Time magazine, his book was praised as a sheaf of extraordinary short stories about scarred, damaged men on the far side of violence. Jones started publishing only recently, but he's not a young writer. He's 48. When he started writing years ago, no one would publish him, so he gave up until recently. In the interim, he made a living as a janitor and ad copywriter. Like some of the characters in his stories, Jones was a Marine. When he was in the Marines, he was a boxer. He gave up boxing at about the time he developed epilepsy. That period of his life is the basis of this story, The Black Lights.
I was sent to Pendleton's neuropsych facility, that bleak, austere nuthouse, some weeks after defending my title as the 1st Marine Division middleweight champ in a boxing smoker at Camp Las Pulgas. I lost on a KO. My injuries resulted in a shocking loss of weight, headaches, double vision, and strange, otherworldly spells. EEG readings taken at the hospital indicated that I had a lesion on my left temporal lobe from a punch to the temple that had put me out cold for over an hour. I was a boxer with over 150 fights, and I had taken a lot of shots, but this last punch was the hardest I had ever received and the first punch ever to put me down. I had seen stars before from big punches. I had seen pinwheels. But after that shot to the temple, I saw the worst things you ever see in boxing. I saw the black lights.
Tom, what are the black lights?
Black lights are a common term in boxing, and people report having seen them many times after they've suffered a knockout. And I saw them just once, and it was sort of like getting swept up in this black vortex of hell, where everything it seemed to me that I was dead and in hell and in the grasp of the devil. It was a hopeless, horrible feeling, and I can't even tell you how long it lasted. It was probably only a couple of seconds, because I wasn't really even down on the canvas. I was, you know, on my feet and then awake again. In boxing, you know.
Where had the blow landed?
On my left temple.
Were you out unconscious after that?
No, just for a few seconds. And that's another common thing. A lot of times you'll get tagged pretty good, and you'll miss a second, but you're still on your feet and you're still doing things. Or I've heard other fighters say, "Well, yeah, I don't remember anything after the second round." And they'll have won a fight in five rounds or something. It's a concussion. Who knows?
Did you stay in the fight after you saw the black lights?
Yeah. It's too bad I did, but I did.
Now, is that the blow that you think was responsible for the epilepsy that you later got?
Well, I think after that time, I never really... the fear of God was in me after that, and I never really wanted to get in beyond sparring, which I still like to do, but you always will, as a boxer, find somebody that's going to be so much better than you are, and then you just... one loss is usually all it takes, and you're frightened to do it anymore, because you've taken a beating, and... It just sort of finishes you. Boxers only lose a couple of fights if they can stand to do that. It's a terrible kind of annihilation that occurs when you lose. It's a mental and physical thing both. And I guess it's sort of like playing some horrible, chess tournament and losing. You're annihilated when you lose. And so you never really feel quite the same when you go in again. You remember that pain, and it comes back, and you don't want to have it again.
There's a character in one of your stories who gives this advice that boxing is the science of controlling fear. Did you look at it that way when you boxed?
Yes, it's very much a science of controlling fear, because you're terrified The other guy is always approximately the same size, but he looks twice as big as you do. You know, your imagination does funny things to you. The night before you fight, you can't sleep. You go in the ring, and then it's a common saying. I think Customato said it, that fear is like fire, and if you can control it, it'll warm your house. But if it's out of control, it'll burn your house down. And so the fear keeps you in a defensive, keeps you very sharp. I mean, you get very you get very concentrated when somebody is out trying to do serious harm to you.
What about pain? You have to take a lot of pain when you're in the ring. How much?
Yes,
of that?
And I.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not a person who likes pain. If I've got a hangnail, everybody in the world will know it. But the when you're all psyched up in your boxing, there's so much adrenaline happening that you really don't feel pain. And then the next day, if you have an injury, it's that syndrome where it's a badge of honor, and it still doesn't really hurt that much. So that I never really remember too many times being hurt. Some bloody noses and sore hands. I had sore hands a lot, but I think maybe the worst thing is a good shot to the liver. That'll hurt no matter what.
Were you boxing in the Marines?
Yes, I did.
Did you do well?
Well, that's about the time that I started having the epilepsy problems, and I didn't do very well. No, I got really hurt, and I had a form of epilepsy that was didn't manifest itself in seizures. I sort of had these blackouts, much like the ones I describe in A White Horse, where I would just lose bits of time and not know quite exactly what happened. And when I got out of the service, I went to a neurologist and found out that it was epilepsy. But in the beginning, it seemed like a kind of a psychiatric condition.
Were you on the psychiatric ward at the Naval Hospital?
That's in fact where I got the story Black Lights. I was in there for about 3 weeks, and they were thinking I was sort of a loony rather than brain damaged.
In that story, The Black Lights, the character says the humiliation of epilepsy had unmanned me. Did you feel unmanned by epilepsy?
Of course. Of course I do. It's a terrible thing, and I've had luck with it, though, because I had a remission that lasted almost 10 years. And then it returned in about 5 or 6 years ago in a form where I have these jerks that I take medicine for, and it controls them almost entirely. So it came back in a very mild way, and I'm glad I never got into too much of the grand mal seizures, because the people that live with those, their whole lives are just governed by that. You never know when it's going to happen. And from what I've read of Dostoevsky's epilepsy, I know that it just kept getting worse and worse as his life went on, and it just turns your life into hell.
Did it make you more introspective?
Yes. Yeah, almost like another person. Like another person came into being because of, I think, as I mentioned in the story, I've read medical accounts where it causes a kind of a personality syndrome. And one of the curious things about it is it makes you obsessed with religion and philosophy, something that I was not obsessed with. They have a thing called hypergraphia, where you're compelled to write. And those things were true of Dostoevsky, and I love to write. It's funny being that you could get typed like that. I think most people with the syndrome have a very tough time because it causes depression and mood swings.
My guest is Tom Jones. His new collection of short stories is called The Pugilist at Rest. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Tom Jones, author of the new collection of short stories, The Pugilist at Rest. So were you discharged from the Marines because of the epilepsy?
Well, I got a medical discharge, and I think it was more, the diagnosis wasn't really established at that point, not until I got out and had a electroencephalogram and whatnot.
Do you think that your medical problem saved your life in a way?
Because yes, I do. Yeah. That's why what I say about fate, because as I said, most of the guys in my outfit were killed, and my best friend was killed. And
in Vietnam?
Yes. And so I think, well, why wasn't I? At the time, I wanted to go very much. I didn't want to leave the Marines, and I was a young guy, and I thought it would be fun to go over there. I mean, that's about how much I knew. I was not a very very much of a thinker. I was just a regular dumb guy from a factory town, and my friends went, and then I remember when I heard that my best friend was killed, I got a letter from his girl. She was in Paris studying at the Sorbonne, and eventually we became married 25 years ago.
It's interesting that you married your best friend's girlfriend.
Yes, very much. And that's what I mean when I say I believe in fate. It sounds kind of corny, but some strange things happened in my life. And when you look back, you think, you know, this happened and that happened, and now I'm here at this place. And I wonder why, you know, why exactly I'm here.
Was everyone in your unit killed in one battle, or did it happen over the course of their tours of duty?
Well, my friend Rolf was killed. I think he was due to come home, and somehow a bunch of Marines got pinned down on a hill, and they were all killed over a two-week period because they couldn't get in. I talked to his brother, who knew more about it, and there just wasn't anything they could do to get the guys out, and he was, I know he was, he had a job all lined up. He was ready to come home, and it just couldn't get out. It was one of those things.
So several of them died in the same battle?
Yes, they all did, yes.
They all died in the same battle?
Yes.
How did you get the word about that, and what were your first thoughts?
Well, it's just a terrible thing. A terrible thing, and it's hard to really, a lot of times I think about it and I just try to imagine it, and it's hard to do. It's really hard to do. So I remember my wife was saying during the Persian Gulf War, when I was watching it on television, that it was Rolf's birthday, and I was watching them explain how the 1st Marine Division was going to guard, and I remember when I was 19, how pumped up I was, and thought, you know, that sounds like a, you know, like a big fun game thing to do. And now I'm watching it, I'm in my 40s, and I'm thinking, hey, that's going to be like Gallipoli, and those guys are going to be killed. I thought it was terrible. So his birthday and the war triggered me to write about Vietnam, and even though I hadn't been there, and so many other writers have written so wonderfully about the war, I just didn't think I had any right or was in their league in any way.
How did you write about a war that you didn't fight in? How did you imagine what Vietnam was like and what combat was like?
I'd been in the Marines and had been through the training, and I knew the weapons, and I heard the stories from the other Marines that came back, and I just listened. I was very curious about it, and I'd read much about the war. I read Michael Hare, and I loved his work, and I love Robert Stone's work, and Tim O'Brien's work, and Wallace Terry, and there were so many of them you can hardly say. But I think the definitive short story on that war was The Things They Carried by Tim O'Brien, and I remember the first time I read it, I thought, well, that's such a awesome story. There's just no way you can write a story about it after that story's been written. But I read it a few more times, and I thought, well, I'll write my own story anyhow. I'll write it for Rolf, and I wrote it from my heart because I love this guy, and that's how I think that's why it was a good story.
You said in another interview that you read a lot of medical journals.
Yes.
Did you develop that habit after you developed epilepsy?
Or is I'm kind of a hypochondriac, too, so I've always enjoyed reading it.
Doesn't it make it worse to read medical journals if you're a hypochondriac?
Oh, it makes things much worse, yes. You can't help yourself sometimes. But it's fun to read about how many things can go wrong. And we have a state library in Olympia, Washington, and it's got a great big medical section, and you can read about anything. And I just do it. I'm fascinated to do it. But whenever I have a neurological symptom, I'll get a whole bunch of stuff, and as much as I can carry, you know, out to my car, and take it home, and I'll sit there in astonishment and horror and read and think, oh, God, I've got this, I've got that. When I was diagnosed as diabetic, I started looking at these terrible things that can happen to you with diabetes, and I was astonished and horrified once more. It was, and I thought, I better quit reading these. I just don't need to know that much.
Did you actually quit?
No, I'll never quit. I'll always do it.
Tom Jones, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Writer Tom Jones speaking with Terry Gross. Jones's collection of short stories, The Pugilist at Rest, has just been nominated for the National Book Award for Fiction. The National Book Award winners will be announced in November. This is Fresh Air.